Welcome to the Rent to Retirement Podcast, your resource for passive real estate investing and retirement strategies. If you're new to real estate or planning your financial future, you're in the right place. Join us at renttoretirement.com to find your path to financial freedom and an easy, carefree retirement. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Rent to Retirees, it's Adam Schrader here with another episode of the Rent to Retirement Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. You know, today was Mother's Day, a day for us to celebrate all of the women who brought us into the world. Very appreciative for my mother, my children's mother, and all the moms out there. Thank you so much for all that you do. Greatly appreciate it. But it got me thinking about, you know, how we're raised, the impact that parents have on children, and about what I'm teaching my children and what my wife is teaching our children as we move forward in our investing journey. And I want to tell you all a little story. I think I've told some of it before, but, you know, my wife and I, or I guess I should say myself, I am the first real estate investor in my family. Now that counts, you know, my parents, my grandparents, my aunts and uncles, my cousins, you know, my sister, all of that. You know, you can go out pretty wide. The only people who kind of dabble in real estate are one of my aunt and uncles will buy a nice home, live in it for a while, do some renovations here and there, and then try to sell it for more money later. And if they can't get a higher price, they keep living in it because it's a nice house to begin with. So kind of maybe a slow live and flip, but not really investing. So, you know, we're solid middle class people. And the idea of owning real estate, I mean, my parents never owned a home until I was in high school. And so, you know, when they were very much along the lines of, you know, if we don't own this home, why would we, you know, own homes for other people to live in? Which, you know, looking back on now, I'm like, oh man, why would I own a home if I could own homes that other people could live in, right? You know, that was kind of the world I grew up in, that real estate investing wasn't a thing that people did. You know, the only time that anybody ever had a rental was if they moved out of their primary and they held on to their old residence for a little while, you know, but eventually that would be sold too, you know. It wasn't really a thing. You know, when I first started telling my mom, you know, oh, we're going to go buy a rental property, immediately her mind went to like the worst possible thing, you know, like the slimiest stereotype of real estate investors. And she's like, well, you're not going to be a slumlord, are you? And I was like, no, mom, no, I'm not going to be a slumlord. You know, first off, you raised me better than that. I don't want to be a slumlord. You know, I'm buying newly renovated homes that I can rent out to people. And, you know, I make a profit. They get a nice place to live. You know, it works for everybody. You know, these aren't slummy houses. You know, they're good, solid places that people can live happily, bring their family, be comfortable in the neighborhood, and, you know, everybody gets benefited. You know, but they did not understand it. And this was 5-6 years ago. And so, you know, moved on, continued buying properties, and it's still, you know, they don't even, at this point, they know that we have the rental properties that we do. I don't know if they know how many we have. You know, she still will sometimes make a crack about, you know, oh, how are the homes doing? You're not a slumlord, are you? It just makes me think about kind of how we don't teach this in our world today and how we as investors need to teach it, not just to ourselves, not just to our significant others, not just to our children, but to other people as well. I mean, when you look at the history of financially wealthy, generational wealth of people, you know, it comes from two things. Number one, starting a business. And number two, real estate. Outside of that, you know, you might have a few outliers here and there of people who did the investing and are now, you know, hugely successful and that was all they did. But for the most part, you look at the big time money people, the people who have generational wealth, and it's real estate or starting their own business. Now, I don't have a $1 billion idea in my head at the moment that I know of, at least. And I don't have a ton of wealthy friends who can help me fund the startup if I did. And I don't have you know, a parent that I can borrow a couple million dollars from to try to see if my idea will work. And so I'm gonna go the real estate route myself. And I know a lot of you are joining me on that trek. And so I look at what I need to teach my children to go down the same route that I am, and the language that I'm going to use, and the words that I'm going to say to them as I teach them about this investing journey. I don't want to use negative words with it, because there is nothing negative on the face of owning rental properties. I mean, we are providing a place for people to live who cannot afford to buy the home in their neighborhood, or they don't want to buy the home in their neighborhood. I was more than happy when I first got married to rent a home. I did not want to own a home. I had no desire at that time, because I didn't know where we were going to end up. I didn't know what house we were going to want to live in. I wanted to be able to move, you know, year after year if we wanted to, as we looked for the right place. I didn't want to deal with any, you know, things that happened to the home while we lived there. That wasn't something that was in our budget. You know, if there was a problem, and there was, our first house, the flooring in the bathroom collapsed. I put my foot through it one day, just stepping up to, you know, brush my teeth. My foot went through the floor, and, you know, the homeowner had to come and completely renovate that bathroom to, you know, tear up the flooring, because there was, you know, it was raised up a little bit, and so they had to tear out the flooring and redo the bathroom. You know, I was happy that I wasn't the homeowner at that time. I was very happy to rent, and a lot of people out there in today's society want to be mobile, and so they're going to rent. And so there is a market and a need for landlords out there. And you just look at what's being taught in schools, you know, elementary, middle, high school, even college. You don't really have classes that are about how to be a real estate investor. You know, maybe you'll have a business class that might teach you something along those lines. Maybe you'll take a real estate class, but that's probably going to be more along the lines of agent or broker training, something like that. But you're not going to find classes out there, for the most part, that teach you how to be a real estate investor. That comes from on-the-job training, and it comes from being educated outside of school. And that's one of the things that we're trying to do here in our household, and one of the things why I recommend to all of you that you don't hide this from your children. Be completely transparent. Our children know the good things that have come from our real estate investing. They know the bad things that have come from our real estate investing. They know, you know, they know that they can come up to me and ask me any day, you know, how are the properties doing? And believe me, my second born does this sometimes. And I will open up our spreadsheet and show them exactly what the rental properties are doing. You know, if they want to see any aspect of the real estate investing journey that we're on, it's an open book to them. There are spreadsheets that I will show them and explain exactly what happened. I'll show them invoices if they want to say, you know, this home had this go wrong. We're putting this money into it, and the reason we're putting the money into it is because it will allow this to happen. And, you know, the reason that we're not selling this home right now is this. The reason we're going to sell this home right now is this. And give them a very clear picture of what we're doing and where we're going and why we're making the decisions we're making. Because when it comes down to it, yes, whenever I get a little older and my children reach adulthood, I want to gift them a rental property. I've never made a secret of that here on the show or on any time I've talked with people. One of the things I want to do is gift my children, each of my children, a rental home. But I don't want them to get it and not know what to do with it. I don't want them to get it and think that that's the end, because it's not the end, or it shouldn't be the end. If they're going to get to the point in their life that they most likely want to be, they're going to need to continue that journey. And they will not be able to continue that journey without education. And I would rather be sitting there with them now, showing them the things and answering the questions that they're interested in, rather than when they're 20 years old, trying to cram everything in right now. And then they'll have to call me randomly and say, hey, you know, this is happening, or what do you think of this deal? What do you think of that deal? Or I don't understand this. you know, we should do it to teach them to walk. You know, what is, you know, you give your, you teach your children how to do it so they don't have to ask you, you know. Obviously, if they have a deal that they're interested in, they can bring it to me and I'll talk to them about it. Absolutely. But I want to be a fallback, you know, a secondary option. I want them to evaluate it first. And that is the tangent that Mother's Day made me think of, is just the impact that we're able to have on our children and the impact our parents have on us in creating the life for our children that we want for them. So just know, I mean, you think about what you say impacts your children, and it does, we all know. So be the open book to your kid. Teach them the path that will lead to their success. Don't make them be one of those people who has to work until they're 75 years old because they don't have anything saved up for retirement. Don't let them be like so much of our society, the sad place that so many of our workers are in, where they're just trying to get by and they have no idea what they're going to do when they retire, because they don't know if they ever will retire, and they don't know if they'll ever be able to afford it, or they retire and have to go back to work at a later date. I mean, we don't want that for our children. You know, I know you don't want it for your children. So start teaching them now. So that's my rant for that. So let's get on to some news about what's going on in the world. And I want to talk about an article I found on Redfin a little while back. Meaning like earlier this weekend. And it was talking about the number of people who are looking to relocate now and how it is higher than it has ever been before, even from the start of COVID. I mean, you know, back in 2019, the number of people who were actively looking to move, you know, they saw was like 28-29%, somewhere in that range. And these are people who are, you know, looking at multiple homes outside of their own market and, you know, doing that consistently on their website. And, you know, before the pandemic, it was 26-27%. And since, I mean, in the first quarter of 2021, it was all the way up to 31.5. Well, now we're a whole percentage point over that. So it is continuing to increase even afterwards, because now people have gotten to the point where their home prices in the markets when they didn't leave are now so high they can't afford it. And they realize, oh, I could afford something over here. So now I'm actually going to go do it. You know, now I'm no longer scared of COVID-19 and getting that. So I'll just move to the place now. You know, I'm not going to do it during the pandemic, but now the pandemic is, you know, the restrictions have subsided. You know, I've got the money in my wallet, but now I really can't afford to buy here. So I wanted to point out the top places people are leaving and the top places people are going. So the top five markets. We'll do top six because there's a number six that I like coming up. Top six markets that people are leaving are San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, DC, Seattle, and Boston. Those are the six places that have the highest net outflow of users. So the people who've looked for the most properties outside of their destinations. Now, where are people actively looking to go? Well, oh, you noticed in the previous things, where were they? They were East Coast and West Coast, right? big shock. Or Northeast and West Coast. So, big shock there. Where are people going? Well, here are the top six. Miami, Florida. Phoenix, Arizona. Tampa, Florida. Sacramento, California. Las Vegas, Nevada. And Cape Coral, Florida. And just below Cape Coral is Northport, which is, you know, right there. But, you know, people talk about how home prices, and especially in Cape Coral where we're building, you know, oh, prices are going to slow down. You know, they can't keep going forever. Well, guess what, people? If it's the number six place in the country that people are looking to move to, and people have continued to move there, and there's still not enough housing there, guess what? Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to slow down today. You know, maybe it'll slow down in the future. Or not maybe, it will slow down in the future. Fully admit that. But right now, you have 32% of people. Obviously, they're not all going to move. A lot of people just like to talk about it, but never do it. But 32.5%, roughly, of people are looking to relocate. Some percentage of those are actually going to follow through on it and move. One of the places that we're building homes for under market value is the number 6 place in the country that they're looking to move. I mean, that is incredible. That is a phenomenal situation. I mean, it's all about demographics, right? It's all about supply and demand. And right now, people, we are in a fantastic way. You know, we're there in a great place there. I mean, it is just crazy to see all of these people leaving and going wherever they want. You know, that's the world we live in, and it's great to see. But Cape Coral is the number 6 place. Makes me very, very happy to see as I'm doing my build there and looking at getting a second build going pretty soon. You know, you talk about how much people love Florida. You know, 8 of the top 10 hottest neighborhoods in 2022 are in Florida. I mean, it's a great thing. You know, Florida is a booming market. You know, we've obviously seen a lot of good work there. We're closing on some of our first properties there, and people are seeing great, great returns. We're hoping to get some case studies coming up here on the podcast soon, but we'll definitely keep you updated on that. But, I mean, it's just, you look at all the situations that are there, and I know there are rising interest rates, yes. But on the grand scheme of things, you know, you look back and all that means is rents will continue going up for a while too, as prices do. I mean, I was talking on my walk the other night with Aaron. You know, we were discussing the interest rates now and how we have mortgages from 5 years ago that were the same rate as they are now. You know, and I wasn't crying about 6%, 6.25% back then. It was just normal. We've gotten pampered. We've been coddled too much with the interest rates. And so now they're getting back to roughly where they've been historically. And we just see it. Oh, rents haven't been able to keep up yet. Absolutely. Rents, you know, returns have gotten crunched because rents haven't been able to catch up. But all that means is rents are going to be catching up for a long time to come. So just wanted to leave that out there. Educate your children. Don't leave them to figure out this investing journey on their own. You know, pass it down. Educate other people's children if you can, you know what I mean? But, you know, just get the word out there. Help people get where they want to go. That's what we're here for at Rent to Retirement, is to help you get where you want to go. That's why I love it whenever I talk to people who are, you know, just getting started or people who are building their portfolios. You know, anybody who scheduled a call that I've had the pleasure of talking with, it is great to hear about where you've been, where you're going, because helping you get there is fantastic. And I mean, it's a learning situation for all of us, you know, and it helps me help my kids as well. Really appreciate you taking the time to educate yourself today with me. Don't forget to check out our website at renttoretirement.com. You can see all of the platforms we're on. You can check out our YouTube channel. We have lots of videos there that, you know, little quicker dives into things than we do here on the podcast, but check it out at renttoretirement.com. Schedule a call with us to go over what you're looking for in real estate. You can see our inventory there. Really appreciate the time you spent with us here today. If you have any questions, email them to podcast@renttoretirement.com. That's podcast@renttoretirement.com. And we will answer your question either directly or on an upcoming podcast. Once again, thank you so much. Don't forget to leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. And we will talk again on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Rent to Retirement Podcast, your number one resource for wealth building real estate investing and stress-free retirement strategies. Continue your real estate education and invest with us at renttoretirement.com.